Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians got past the St. Patrick's Day holiday with a win against the Reds Sunday night. Shane Bieber, again, looks like he's heading towards or trending towards where he needs to be to open the season as the Guardians' number one starter.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. 5 2/3 innings. He strikes out 8, allows 1 run, 2 hits, retired the first 11 batters he faced. Just really a dominant performance. He has 1 start left in the Cactus League, and then he'll be ready for March 28th against the A's. So, you know, he's really trending well. He's had a great spring, knock on wood, and you know, he came to camp ready, Joe, and it looks like it.
What if we get to opening day, if we get to you know, the start of the season, and Bieber is the guy, what can we expect over those first couple of starts out of him? As you know, with he's put all the trade rumors and everything to you know behind him, it looks like just if we get, you know, this ace Shane Bieber, the, you know, what we've seen him in the past for that first month, how good can he be?
Well, I think he can be, you know, I think he can really kind of roll back the clock here. We're probably looking at a guy from, you know, two years ago when he pitched 200 innings, and maybe even, you know, back to the COVID year when he won the Cy Young, you know, not to put too much, too much weight on, you know, 3 or 4 spring training starts, but his velo's up. He's come up with a kind of a split change now that, you know, he really didn't throw the change up before. Now he has a lot more confidence in it. You know, I like what Carl Willis, the pitching coach, said. And, you know, Shane went to a driveline baseball in Scottsdale this past winter to improve on his velocity. But along the way, a lot of his other pitches improved. You know, he's picked up power on his curveball. You know, he started getting a little more confidence in the changeup. So, you know, I think we're starting to see you know, maybe a more well-rounded Shane Bieber, and a guy that knows what's in front of him. This is his walk year. People are going to be watching him, and I would think, you know, the first month or so, you know, the Guardians and the 29 other teams in the big leagues will be watching just to see how healthy he is and just to see, you know, how much he's progressed from last year and the elbow injury.
Well, I mean, the reason I ask and what I'm trying to sort of lead us into in a circuitous sort of way is if Shane Bieber comes out and he's dominant in that first month, and, you know, you can just see the value, the trade return, if they want to make a trade, if they want to make a deal early in the season, if the Yankees wind up, you know, desperate because Gerrit Cole is on the shelf and, you know, they were not able to get Dylan Cease from the White Sox. He ends up with the Padres. You know, and we had heard that the White Sox were demanding this Spencer Jones, their top outfield prospect in the Yankees organization. You know, and an outfield prospect would be somebody that would be appealing to the Guardians in exchange for, you know, a Shane Bieber type, you know, especially a prime Shane Bieber type who's you know, not dealing with injuries and anything like that. Could the Guardians pry away the Yankees' number one outfield prospect if Shane Bieber is lights out in April and May?
You know, that's a great question. I would think, you know, the Yankees have probably already talked to Cleveland about Bieber, about their other pitchers.
And I would imagine it has probably been a pretty brief conversation then, because, you know, I'm sure Antonetti and Chernoff are asking for a Spencer Jones or something of that value.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They, you know, they, I think they've, we found out over the winter that they put a high bar on Bieber, that, you know, they, you know, because they did get a lot of, you know, interest in him, even, you know, even though he was, you know, really questionable his health wise because he had missed so much time last year with the elbow injury. Now, you know, he's shown well in spring training. I would think, you know, the more, you know, that the more interest teams will be in Bieber as long as he keeps pitching well. And, you know, I think a lot of it, some of it depends too on Joe, on how the Guardians are doing. How are they playing? If they have two good months, do you pull the plug and trade your number one starter? We kind of went through that last year and it didn't sit well with the fans.
Yeah, I looking at and scouting and going through a couple of posts about this Spencer Jones, 22-year-old outfielder with massive raw power is how he's described. The White Sox were very hard line about wanting that as the return for Dylan Cease. They didn't get it, and so they moved on. Now that forces the Yankees to sort of look elsewhere to fill that hole that Gerrit Cole. Leaves in the rotation. So, it's all a matter of how desperate the Yankees become, and we'll see if something. I know it's very specific to talk about just these two teams, but like you said, there's 29 other teams that are 28 other teams that are going to be watching Shane Bieber very closely. And as of right now, he looks to be in the kind of shape and the kind of form that the Guardians need him to be in order to get a return on him. Same could probably be said for Tristan McKenzie to this point. He had a little bit of a stumble on Friday night, gave up his first runs of the off season. But to this point, Bieber and McKenzie have both ostensibly answered all the questions about their injury history from last year and look like they're ready to go for the start of the regular season.
Yeah, it's really encouraging, I think, for Guardians fans and the Guardians organization, the way Bieber and McKenzie have pitched this spring. Carl Willis, the pitching coach, said that he was surprised at how advanced McKenzie is. He said if, he would have taken what McKenzie has shown him right now, a week from now, just before, when the season opened, but he's a little farther ahead than they thought he would be. That is with his velocity and his slider. So they've been, I know Willis has been impressed.
Yeah, that's it's all positive coming out of the the Guardians camp when it comes to McKenzie. Even when he was knocked out of the game or roughed up in the game on Friday night, I believe against the Rockies. This team right now, there are questions about the rotation with Gavin Williams being, hasn't really thrown as much as we needed to see him because of the elbow. It's really been sort of a team of mystery in terms of the dealing with illnesses in camp and, who's sort of trending towards being a starting pitcher in the rotation. Who are they thinking about roles in the bullpen and where? Because we just haven't really seen a lot of, guys like Xavion Curry, guys like Carlos Carrasco. It's been extended periods since they've pitched, and we don't really hear much from the club about the reasons why. So, where do you see that shaking out? Who do you see competing for that open spot in the rotation? And who's sort of earmarked for the bullpen if they don't go for the starting job?
Yeah, Joe, you've got guys going and coming. I mean, guys that are kind of dual threats. I mean, they can pitch in the bullpen. They could start. Right now with Williams, starting the year on the IL, for the fifth starter's job. There's Carrasco, there's Xavion Curry, Ben Lively, Hunter Gaddis, Tyler Beebe. Beebe pitched very well his last time out, 5 scoreless innings. And the same thing goes, almost all those 5 guys can pitch out of the bullpen as well. Mm-hmm. And the bullpen has 4 openings. So it's kind of a mess right now because, Carrasco hasn't pitched since, March 11th. Curry hasn't pitched since March 10th. Curry's been sick with the flu that is going around the Guardians clubhouse. He's going to play long toss today and throw a bullpen session later in the week. He has already thrown eight innings, but I still don't know if he's built up enough to, be that fifth starter. And they're going to need the fifth starter because they only have one off day until they get home, Joe, once the season starts on the 28th.
Yeah, it's a long opening road trip of 10 games, and there's only one off day sort of in between, stops on that, that three-city trip. So will be interesting to see how the rotation. I mean, guys at the front of the rotation, Beaver and McKenzie and ostensibly Tanner Bibee will probably have pitched multiple times, before they get back to Cleveland to open the home portion of the season on April 8th. Eli Morgan, I just wanted to mention him, and he's had a rough camp. He's been bitten by the long ball a couple of times. Stephen Vogt talked about him the other day, but this is a guy who, like you and I were talking, they're going to need him to pitch, and they're going to need him to be in a role in that bullpen. What have we seen out of Eli Morgan thus far in camp?
Yeah, I think Eli's kind of stubbed his toe a little bit. He struggled. He's 1-0 with a 9.00 ERA, seven innings. He's given up three home runs. The opposition's hitting almost 300 against him. And this is kind of a veteran guy, per se on this team. He's a veteran. Third year in the bullpen, and you just don't know, if in the desert the changeup isn't working, that's his pitch. If he's hanging it, it's going to get hit out of the ballpark. So you really have to go on track record more than what your eyes are telling you in spring training right now. If your vote and the coaching staff, and you've already, your bullpen is down to he's one of four reliable guys that are still active in the bullpen. Everybody else is hurt. So, I think you've got to nurse him through this last, week to 10 days of camp and get him ready for the season.
And we have seen Eli Morgan in stretches be very effective, over the last two, three seasons. At times, Terry Francona would call him the most important guy in that bullpen, besides Emmanuel Clase, just to the innings and the value that he gave them. So, we know that he's capable of doing it. It's just a matter of, getting him to that point. And like you said, being out in the desert with the dry air, and that does funky things to the changeup, and that's his bread and butter pitch. So, just to keep an eye on that, to keeping an eye on everybody out there in the bullpen and all the moves that we're expecting to see here in the next couple of days. They've still got 51 bodies in camp right now, as of 10:30 in the morning Eastern time on Monday. So, we'll be looking for cuts and shuffling to happen. Hoynsie, there's a sort of a bottleneck point coming up with the with split squad games and the off day, right?
Yeah, Joe. They've got a split squad on Tuesday with Colorado and Milwaukee. Then they've got an off day Wednesday, and I would think either on perhaps today or Tuesday, after that Tuesday split squad, I would think the roster gets thinned out, and we're going to get a much better sense of what this 26-man roster is going to look like.
And it also, it'll be interesting to get to those games on the game on Thursday, at least, to see if guys like Chase DeLauder, if guys like Kyle Manzardo and Davison De Los Santos are still, in camp. I would imagine De Los Santos and Esteban Florial will still be there, pretty much up until the end of camp. But, this is the point where you say, okay, do Chase DeLauder and Kyle Manzardo really have a chance to make, the opening day roster? Well, if they're still around on Thursday, they're going to continue to get a serious look. I would expect that maybe both of those guys will be optioned or sent down to sent over to minor league camp, and the real focus will be on getting guys ready for the opener on the 28th.
Yeah, that would not be surprising, Joe. You know, both guys need time in the minors, especially DeLauder. You know, I know he's had a great spring. He's done something exciting every time he plays. You know, even in the spring breakout game, you know, him and Petey Halpin worked a double steal and sparked a rally late against the Reds. And then, so, you know, he's really been an exciting player to watch. The same with Manzardo, who hit a home run in the spring breakout game. But I would not be surprised if they got sent down. I would not be surprised, Joe, if they let them, you know, stick around until the team breaks camp. You know, with Francona, he would always tell the reporters that around this time of spring training, there were certain guys that they really liked, that they wanted to keep watching, and they let them stay in big league camp until the team left Arizona, and then they would either, you know, they would you know, go back to the minor to the their minor league clubs.
Yeah, and that's a possibility too, just because they've got games that they're going to continue playing. You don't want the starters or the full time guys to, you know, get too burned out before they open the season. So you know, a guy like a Kyle Manzardo, even if he's not going to be on the roster, he can give you at bats and give you innings out there that are valuable to him, and then also, you know, sort of take the pressure off and take the strain off of guys like you know, Josh Naylor, and in the outfield, you know, you continue to give as many opportunities to DeLauder and see what he's able to do with him, because he's been pretty exciting so far, like you said. As far as exciting, if you want to keep getting updates on the Guardians and all the roster moves and all the changes out there in camp, you can sign up for Guardian Subtext. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe. You get text messages sent directly to your phone from Hoynsey and from me. The best way to do that is to go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346, and you can get signed up that way. Hoynsey, you mentioned spring breakout. Just what were your impressions of the spring breakout initiative and you know, having all of the top prospects from each club play against each other over the course of a 4-day weekend in Florida, in Arizona? Some of the matchups were great, but you know, as far as the Guardians and Reds were concerned, that was a pretty fun thing to sort of follow there.
Yeah, definitely. Like we were saying, Manzardo really performed well. So did DeLauder. Brito did a nice job. Petey Halpin had a
John Kenzie Noel hit a home run as well.
John Kenzie Noel, yeah, right. I forgot about that. He hit the first of two home runs that the Guardians hit in that game. Yeah, so that was it was fun. It was fun to you know, you could it seemed like those guys kind of took a deep breath, Joe, and kind of relaxed a little bit. You know, they were out of the big league camp. They were playing against their peers. You know, I know it seemed like Noel and Manzardo just kind of you know, it looked like they were real. Their confidence, I think, that they've gained in big league camp really showed in that game.
And one of the stories of that game, Doug Nikhazy, the second round pick in 2021, left-hander for the Guardians. I believe he struck out six over three innings, gave up a run, but, you know, looked real strong. This is a guy who's not ranked in the, you know, the top 30 prospects for the organization, but Doug Nikhazy went out there and looked pretty good on the mound. Actually, all of Cleveland's pitchers in that game looked pretty good. But Nikhazy was definitely one to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, he was one of those high round. I think he was drafted third round pick maybe.
I think second. Yeah. I think he was a second round pick in 21.
After Williams, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, that's that. Pitching class is when they drafted 19 pitchers out of 20 rounds or some crazy thing like that.
Out of college too. Yeah.
Yeah. They were all out of college. And you know, that's exciting. That's exciting to see the progress there. And maybe, you know, he can, can make a move here because they're going to have some openings in that pitching pipeline pretty soon.
Yeah. Pretty soon. As far as the birthday boy, we got to talk about Emmanuel Clase. You know, he turns, I mean, how old is he? Hang on one
26,
second.
I think.
He's 26. You don't think about that, but I mean, when Cleveland acquired him, he was super young. Now 26, veteran, all-star. Here's a guy who is sort of in the same position as Shane Bieber is. If he goes out and he's dominant over the first couple of months of the season, there's a possibility he could get traded. Or they just stick with him and, you know, take advantage of that team-friendly contract that he's on. What are your thoughts on Emmanuel Clase on his 26th birthday?
Yeah, I think the Guardians have found, you know, they found a pot of gold the day after St. Patrick's Day. You know, they're like the leprechaun that found a pot of gold, I think, with Clase, you know, really has led the big leagues in saves the last 2 years. And two, like you were saying, Joe, I mean, he's on the best contract in baseball, in terms of money versus talent. I mean, they're really getting a lot of production out of Emmanuel. And, like you were saying with Bieber and McKenzie, there were some questions about, you know, mm-hmm. Class A coming into this season. You know, yes, he had saved 44 games, the most in the big leagues last year. He'd also blown 12 saves, the most in the big leagues. You know, his batting average against jumped from, what, 161 to, I believe, about 240, 246. There was some concern. You know, people were hitting his slider. And, you know, his velo had ticked, you know, dropped off a little bit, but then he regained it as the season went along. So, you know, there were some questions. He's been used, what, over 220 appearances over the last three seasons. Everyone, you know, is wondering, you know, how long can a pitcher pitch that many games? But he's looked strong this spring. I think he's had one outing where he gave up a 3-run homer. But the rest of the time he's looked great, and you know he's pitching in the second or third. You know he's pitching against big leaguers like most teams use their closers in spring training. He's not coming in the ninth inning against you know a single A and double A guys. So I think he's in a real good spot.
Yeah, it's been good to see throughout camp and throughout you know working the Cactus League games that Class A has been able to be effective like that. I think, you know, last year, especially with the amount of one-run games that the Guardians were playing and the amount of close games that the Guardians were playing, I think that might have had a lot to do with some of the numbers for Class A as well as the, you know, the obviously the velocity and the, you know, the different Statcast metrics on his pitches that, you know, trending in the wrong direction. But we'll see what they do, with the fresh start this year. He's going to be very important because, two of the big guns in front of him in that bullpen, the guys that sort of set things up for him aren't going to be there. Trevor Stephan won't be there all year. And who knows how long Sam Hentges is going to be out as he's been sort of shut down and it's going to take him a while to get built back up and, join the major league club at some point. It doesn't look like he's going to be, ready to open the season. So, it might be a matter of the bullpen sort of shaky and getting the ball to him in situations where he's again facing one run leads late in games and if he's able to come through, it's going to be the difference of the season here for the Guardians.
The question is, can they get the ball to him, Joe? Like you were saying, who can you get the ball and the lead to Class A in the ninth inning?
Yeah, that's a big question. As we open the season, that will be a major, sort of talking point is this late inning bullpen and how they can get the ball to Class A. All right, Hoynesy, one more item before we get going here. Came across our desk just as we were about set to record the announcement that Fatheads Brewery is now going to be the official craft beer of the Guardians. Hoynesy, you're a Budweiser guy, right? You're not much
yeah,
of a,
you're a, I'm not you're a much of a craft beer guy.
not big on the craft brew. Cause I wanted to ask you what your favorite Fatheads Brewery beer is. I have my personal favorite. The seasonal beers. I like the Pimp My Sleigh is my favorite beer that they make. My wife is actually kind of fond of the bumbleberry. We get that in the summer. So not like I'm doing a free commercial here for Fatheads, but there are some really good beers that they come up with, and it'll be fun to see that at the ballpark. But Hoynesie, we'll let you stick with your Budweiser and your Bud Light, right?
All right, Joe. I'm a simple guy that way.
Yeah, simple. You're a simple guy in a lot of ways, Hoynesie. But the Budweiser is a pretty obvious one, and we've shared many over barbecue at Slow's in Detroit. That's a good place to get the party started. All right, Hoynesie, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in with you and hopefully have some cuts and some roster moves to talk about in the next couple of days here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in with you then.
All right, Joe.